Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will start this evening worship service with the singing of Psalter 80, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. I call upon thy name. O save me in thy righteousness, nor let me suffer shame. We mention to you Psalter 80, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Acts of the Apostles, it's chapter 17, it's chapter 20, starting at verse 17. He mentioned to you Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 17. But before we will read 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 17 to the end of the chapter. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver, or gold, or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should not see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Thus far.
Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. All-knowing and all-sufficient Lord, when in the evening of this day, which is thy day, we may be gathered in thy house. May it then be as we sang, I call upon thy name. Not as ones worthy in themselves, not as ones who have a right, but as ones who may call upon thy name, as ones who have deserved not even the least of thy blessings, not even the least of thy help, not even deserve the breath in their nostrils. Oh, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who can stand? And yet, Lord, to call upon thy name and to command one another unto the throne of grace, there is no better place. And when that may be learned, and when that may be in exercise, and that we beseech thee, Lord, that if we are yet strange of that thou wouldest then shoot an arrow in the heart in this evening, the heart of young and old, all fellow travelers, to that all decisive eternity, where one day each of us has to give an account of what we have done, whether good or evil. And Lord, may we then beseech thee that thou wilt be in our midst in this evening hour, an hour that is filled with many thoughts that can multiply, in the midst of this congregation whom thou hast gladdened, and who may in this week that we have entered, if it pleases thee, receive out of thy hands a servant to go in and to go out and to proclaim thy word. And Lord, and we beseech thee that he may be made a rich blessing among them, speaking nothing but death in Adam and life in Christ, as we read, preaching the repentance to God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that holy order in the which thou workest in the life of all thy children, and that he may be made a blessing among young and old when he goes in, like the apostle did in Ephesus, in public and in the houses, to keep nothing behind, the one thing that is needful. Lord, wilt thou remember him, and his wife and the children? And Lord, give them a place among this flock, a special hour, also in the life of thy servant, who may in this evening once more proclaim thy word in the midst of this flock, as that has been done so often for so many years,
And Lord, thou knowest most perfectly what the fruit has been. Oh, it has all been with many shortcomings. And we beseech thee that thou wilt graciously take away all that was ours, and bless that which was thine. And when we make command and this flock in this evening unto thee, and to the word of thy grace, Lord, give them also in this evening a place here, that it may be done in liberty, and that it may be done in the unction of thy Spirit, that all hindrances be taken away, and that it be experienced that it is Israel's God who strengthens. Lord, one day it will come back. What we have done in the proclamation of thy word, and what we have done with the proclamation of thy word. And that we beseech thee, Lord, that it would not have to testify against us, but all that it may have bear fruits of repentance and of saving faith, that in the great and notable day it may appear that it has pleased the Lord to use the means also of the preaching of thy word in the midst of this flock. And Lord, that then in this evening it also may be evident that the Lord knows about this flock, and that the Lord knows about his servants. Oh, in and of ourselves we can do nothing, but our eyes are unto thee, to call upon thy name, that thou wouldest be in our midst, that thou wouldest make it well with thyself, and in that way also with us. Lord, we beseech thee, remember the entire congregation, from the youngest to the oldest, and that thy word may have a free course among them, and that thou wilt convert many, could it be all of them, for thou art able. Thou hast all power in heaven and on earth. Oh, shoot an arrows in the hearts, and that it also in this evening may be good in thy house, that thy people may be edified, that thy kingdom may come, and thy will be done, and Satan's realm be destroyed. Lord, we beseech thee for the sick and the needy and the afflicted. Wilt thou visit them wherever they are? Those that struggle physically, Israel's God who strengthens, uphold and give what is needed. Those that struggle emotionally and mentally, Israel's God who strengthens, uphold and keep. And those that struggle spiritually, that have no name, that stand outside, maybe in this evening wonder, is there ever a way for such a one as I am? Lord, may we command them unto thee and unto the word of thy grace, that that grace not only be glorified, but also may break through. Lord, remember the labors that are awaiting thy blessing in congregation and denomination, where thou hast made things well this past week during synodical meetings. Lord, we beseech thee that everything that has taken place there may receive thy holy approval and thy indispensable blessing. Remember the labors in the mission field, where thou hast gladdened with another church worker. The Lord, wilt thou prepare him, and also bless the means that are taken to hand to be prepared. Help, O Lord, and even to the mission board and the team and the administrator all that is needed. Oh, we look unto thee, and that everything that needs thy blessing may also receive it, and that also in this evening thou wilt be in our midst. Help thy servant, lay the words in his heart, in his mind and in his mouth, and that we may receive a good hour in thy house. Oh, let thy spirit be our constant aid, that it also be experienced in this hour, not because we deserve anything, but for thy great name's sake we ask. Bless the labors in our school, in our care home community, labors among young and old, among young and weak. All we ask, have mercy, Lord, and that the education among our children and youth be blessed, and that thy kingdom may come also among the old and the weak. For nothing is impossible with thee. Look then upon us in mercy, we ask, in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen. While your collection be received and the Lord bless thee and thy gifts, we will sing together from Psalter 447, the first and the third stanza. My soul was glad when unto me they said, come, we will now repair unto Jehovah's house of prayer, and let peace be found within thy walls and in thy palaces repose. Jehovah bless and prosper. Those 1 and 3 of 447. Thank you.
special week, beloved congregation, you will receive the Lord willing out of his hands. And at the same time, a special Sunday and a special hour also in this evening, where it feels for us a little bit like a farewell. After having been your minister for 11 years, more than that, 8 in Norwich, 3 here in Cortland as a branch, the last year, almost a year, as your moderator, and in this week you may receive out of the Lord's hands your own minister. And the thoughts multiply, and that's not so important, of course. But then the question is, when you stand on the brink of a new time frame, how is it now in you and my life? What has that word of God that has been read, that has been preached, now done in your life? When there comes a day for God's servants, and the prophets, they speak so clearly about it, that they have to give an account of the proclamation of his word. Has been with all shortcomings, and yet with the desire to know nothing among you, and Jesus Christ and him crucified, death in Adam and life in Christ, and who now, how now a child of Adam may be reconciled to God in Christ. And that will not change, because God's word is the same, and the message is the same, and your minister will not preach anything different either. Yet in this evening, a special hour. And when I was thinking about this hour, I was led to the words of our text for this evening, that we will consider with the help of the Lord and awaiting his blessing. God's word, our text, can be found in our scripture reading, Acts chapter 20 and thereof verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And then we write under this text Paul's farewell from the elders of Ephesus. And then not only from the elders, of course, tonight, but also from the deacons and the congregation. And then we consider, in the first place, he points to the word of the Lord. I commend you to God and the word of his grace. Secondly, he points them to the work of the Lord, which is able to build you up. And finally, he commands, he points them to the fruits of the Lord, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Paul's farewell from the elders of Ephesus, he points them to the word of God, to the work of God, and to the fruits that God gives.
For 3 years, beloved, the Apostle Paul, and that was an unusual long time, had served in the congregation of Ephesus. Much he has experienced there. Oh, he has held back nothing from what is necessary to know, be it well, for the time and eternity. He declares it and he can do it. The repentance to God and the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not necessary, beloved? Was that the fruit already in your life? Repentance to God, to be converted by God and unto him, for we sinned against God in paradise. We need to be reconciled with God. That's why it always starts with repentance to God. Doesn't start with Jesus. Doesn't start with faith in Jesus, no. It starts with repentance. Paul is so honest, and God's servants have to be so honest. We stand in account with God, our Maker. Repentance, that means a turning back from that running away that we have done in paradise. That we turned away from God, and like the prodigal son ran away from him. And what does now the Lord do when he converts a sinner and when he teaches them repentance? He turns them within. Their eyes are open, their heart is open. And he turns them away from world and sin. You would agree with me, hopefully, that if someone says that the Lord gave grace in their life and they have not turned away from the world, but the world is in their heart and the world is in their life, that something is totally wrong. And they learn to return unto God. I have sinned against the heaven and before thee. So the experience of sin, and to bewail sin and to confess sin. And then no rest until the Lord kindles that faith, that saving faith, opens their eyes also for a way outside of self where they cannot find it in themselves anymore, and kindles that faith in that one in given under heaven in Christ. Paul has proclaimed that. Oh, there were always people, and that has not changed. That is today and the day the same. And he says that those that spoke hard and were filled with enmity. You always have that. I hope that's not the fruit of your life. But there was also a fruit that could endure eternity. And you read that in Acts 19. Thus the word of the Lord grew and waxed strong in Ephesus. Many converted. And now Paul, he comes at the end of his third missionary journey, and he is on his way back to Jerusalem. He says he is bound in the spirit. He is compelled to go to Jerusalem, although they warned him not to go, because the prophet of the Lord had told him that bonds were there waiting for him. Paul knew that, but he was ready. He was willing to finish the course that the Lord gave him. And actually he wanted to go once more to Ephesus. But he wanted to be before Pentecost in Jerusalem. So to say it simply, there was no time left. What does he then do? Then he calls the elders. The Arimaletes. And there, the harbor, there he calls the elders together to once more speak to them. Can you imagine that it has been a very emotional meeting, because all knew, and Paul knew it too, that they would not see one another's face anymore. Touching meeting there on the shore. And then he says to them, and now, brethren, not in a cheap way, of course. I hear that so often, where everybody seems to be a brother and a sister in Christ. And you sometimes fear they are not even third cousins. You understand what I mean. But brethren, from him who is the oldest brother, Christ, those who have been added as children of God, children of wrath in themselves, who cannot enter into the kingdom of God except when they are born again, but became a child of God. And oh, now they received also that special office, brethren. And now, brethren, so Paul comes to a conclusion. And now, he says, after he spoke to them, I commend, I recommend, or as the word is used elsewhere, I commit. That means, I lay you before the Lord's countenance. I've labored among you. And now I lay you back in the hands of him who gave me such a long time to labor. The under shepherd says farewell to the flock of Ephesus, and he may now commend them unto the Lord. Recommend, he may commit them, he may lay them before the Lord, that he would keep them, that he would spare them, that he would continue to care for them. When now the under shepherd leaves Paul, then he commits them unto the great shepherd and teacher God in Christ, that he would take care of that flock of the congregation. Was that necessary? Yes, my beloved. Because Paul knew that there are always dangers, and especially in Ephesus, there were dangers coming from without, and there are dangers coming from within. I know, he says, verse 29, that after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in from the outside, enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So he saw the dangers from outside, and to say, Paul, hears the howling of the wolves already. And oh, as long as that under shepherd was there, those wolves would keep quiet. But Paul, he knew, and now the under shepherd leaves, that the wolves, they are just like a pack of wolves, and they're waiting and circling and awaiting the right time to just jump on the congregation, trying to devour them. Satan goes about as a roaring lion. But there is another danger that Paul sees. In the next verse, he says, but elders, you should not only watch for the dangers from without. Yeah, we should watch on the walls of Zion for the dangers from without. But Paul says, you know what is the same type of danger? That is the danger from within. When he tells them, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples from after the Lord. From within. I don't hope that will ever take place here in Cortland. But there are people from within that start speaking about a different doctrine and about different things, and they say, no, yeah, we hear always this, but my opinion is that. And I read the Bible that way. But that we always may desire to stand firm, for thus saith the Lord, and to simply learn to bow under the authority of God's word. And what Paul fears, that was soon fulfilled. Because soon after Paul left, they received a new minister. That was Timothy, a young minister, who came there in Ephesus, And all the were enemies that have come from within there. Hymenaeus and Philetus, you find that in 2 Timothy 2. And they brought a strange doctrine and they said, Christ is risen already and the body will never rise again. There is only a salvation for the soul. So when you die, your body goes to the grave anyway. Now then you know the danger of such a heresy. And Paul says that, and then we read it in the Bible, then there came also dangers from the outside. Because when such a heresy comes in Ephesus, in the congregation, then we read the Revelation 1, where now the exalted Christ writes a letter unto Ephesus. And when he does church visitation in Ephesus, then he says, but there are a few things that I have against you. You have left your first love. And when the first love is gone, that is what now those howling wolves are waiting for. Because then they jump on and then there starts a fight. And then we read in Revelation 2. And then they have allowed them who are the Nicolaitans. Yeah, that's the consequence of a heresy. The consequence that is saying, oh yeah, when the body must die and laid in the grave anyway, then we can better enjoy with our body life to the brim. But then the Lord warned and threatened them and said, if you continue this way, then I will take the candlestick from you. How often has that happened already? The 7 congregations, what's left there in Asia Minor? What's left from those 7 congregations? Have you ever seen it? What's left are ruins. And that has happened already so often in churches that started as solid Reformed. And that maybe still have the name of Reformed, but have gone so far away from it. How sad. And therefore Paul said, I commend you unto God. And we may do the same this evening. And you may receive this week a minister out of the Lord's hands. Different person, different name, different style, but the same Bible. And the same proclamation of death in Adam and life in Christ. And how they may now come together in the life of a sinner. Because the devil's work is not different than in the days of Paul and Ephesus and Timothy. He's always waiting and awaiting a good opportunity. And therefore I command you unto God that he would continue to care for the flock. For the minister and for the congregation, for the elders, the deacons, for young and old, that he would keep and spare. Let peace, we send that. Let peace be found within thy walls. But Paul continues. He says, I command you unto the word of his grace. Because when Paul commands the congregation unto the Lord, and that congregation cannot just be passive and fold their arms and say, I am Paul, God's servant, commanded unto the Lord us, and therefore we should not do anything. No, 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 no. Grace never makes passive. Paul points them to the word of God, because how does now the Lord work in the life of a sinner? By his word and spirit, by the word of grace. Not by dreams, visions, or strange experiences that are not according to the Bible, but by the word. Paul pointed them and commanded them to the word. And he said, congregation of Ephesus and elders of Ephesus, there in that word, you can only find it.
Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided clearly I thy path may see. Command them unto the word. And why does he say the word of grace? Well, for three reasons. In the first place, because it is grace that we have, God's word, common grace. And we find the cause in paradise, and that's where it always have to come. And that's where the Lord always brings his people. It is grace that the Lord gives his word, because what happened in paradise, children, where the Lord made us good and after his image, and where he saw everything he made, and behold, it was very good, there we have fallen away. We did not believe and obey the word of God that he had spoken to Adam. We rather believed and obeyed the voice of the devil and the word of the devil. You will be as God, knowing good and evil. But the devil always remembered that. He always speaks half a truth. You know when the devil is most dangerous? When he comes with the Bible in his hand. And he says, that text there. You know what our father said? You want to know the meaning of a text? Read the text in its context. And read the text in the light of other places in the Bible. Let the Bible explain itself. And not my opinion. Not the minister's opinion. Or a private person's opinion. The word of grace. The devil said, you will be as God, but the devil did not say how they would be and how they would know good and evil. Namely, good as what they would not be able to do anymore, and evil as that what they would always do. Now, we've left the Lord in order never to return. It would be no wonder if the Lord would have said to Adam and Eve, now depart from me, and if you do then not believe my word, I will never give you my word, the word of grace. You see, that is a wonder that we may still have that word that speaks about grace. It is grace that that word comes, and that we may have it. And may I add one thing when it is about that word. Keep that word in the authorized King James Version. You say that is a matter of course. I answer, I wish it would be. Because it seems, or maybe not in Cortland, but it seems that nowadays people start reading all kinds of translations because that's a little easier, right? That we understand more. And in the meantime, the truth of God's word is changed. That never comes alone. When you change the version of the Bible you read, that never comes along. What do we need? The word of grace. So it is grace that the Lord still gives his word, and that we may have that word. And what makes us to differ from so many others that do not have the Bible or that do not want to read the Bible? I hope that's different here. Young and old, that you will read your Bible. But because what is the Bible about? It says the word of grace. Second thing, what it means. What is now the contents of the Bible? You can summarize it in one word, and you can write it on your nail. No polish, but you can write it on your nail. Grace. There was one day an old child of the Lord. And they asked her, what have you now learned in your life? She said, I can write it on the nail of one finger. Grace. Grace abounding for the chiefest of the sinners, John Bunyan says. But the content of the Bible, grace for unworthy sinners. Because what is grace? You might say, young people, that is that I receive something that I do not deserve. That's right, but it's a little deeper. It's not only receiving something that you do not deserve, but it is receiving the opposite of what you deserve.
Grace is I deserve death. I've made myself worthy of it, but may receive life. It's the contents of God's word. And in the past years, we've tried to lay that in your midst with all shortcomings. Paul, he says, and to me the least of God's servants. And I think God's servants in our days cannot even yet stand in his shadow. The word of grace. What does that mean? Well, the third thing, that word teaches grace. That doesn't only speak about, it's not only grace that we have the Bible. It doesn't only speak about grace, it also teaches grace. So it is not enough that we read about grace in the Bible, that grace needs to become personal. That grace need to be glorified, and the Lord is pleased to use that word by his Spirit. By opening the blind eyes for the necessity of it. In the heart of one who may learn, I have sinned against him. I stand outside and I have nothing of what I need, and I have everything what I need to miss. Be it well for the time and for eternity. Grace glorified in the heart. Or for self-righteous people, for outward religious people, grace is a hidden thing. But there is also with people that cannot live without it anymore, and that cannot be satisfied as long as it is still hidden for the soul. Lord, reveal it unto me. And how does he do that? And I must die at all that is no God and no Christ, and I must die. But myself and the world and sin stripped from all that is no grace. And he gives a hunger for that word, and a hunger for grace, and a desire, a missing, a longing, a seeking, a sighing, an asking, an imploring. Oh Lord, there is no rest in my soul. The word of grace. I command you unto God and the word of his grace. My unconverted friend, young people, children, in the Bible, that word of grace, there you can find everything you cannot miss and what you need. Always remember it. It is grace outwardly that we have a Bible. And it is grace that which is the contents of the Bible. And it is grace that the Lord wants to give you by the Bible and the Spirit. And therefore never leave your Bible closed. Search the scriptures. They are they that testify of me. And you think that you have by them eternal life. I command you unto God the word of his, his grace. Blessed people. Who are they? Now that is a people that may know by word and spirit the work of the Lord, which is able to build you up. So which is able, that word able, that points to God's virtue, of his omnipotence, of his power. Oh, it is as if Paul says, Satan has a great power. They are like a pack of howling wolves waiting to destroy and devour. He's a roaring lion, and they are so strong, children, you will never be able to stand against them. But it is as if Paul says, but now the Lord is almighty. And there is a people that learn that. Who by their almighty power are brought down on the knees in the valley of humiliation. And that may say with that one that was a leper, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, which is able. So whatever goes around and whatever is strong, the influences of the world, the sinful lusts of our own heart, the addictions that go out in our days, whatever is so strong that you must say, and I cannot get rid of it, he is able. And maybe people that must say, oh, the cords of death held me in deep despair, and I tried to deliver myself, and the cords, the handcuffs, the chains, the cords become tighter and tighter, and I cannot deliver myself, which is able. Be not despondent, grieve people in our midst, which is able. God and the word of his grace that he has given for that purpose, not only to glorify grace, but also to establish the church, which is able, which is mighty, because he is almighty. And to me, Christ says, is given all power in heaven and on earth. Satan has great power, but he's not almighty, children. No, no. You can be entangled, young people, all the ones in so many things, but there is one who has all power, which is able. And when the devil now says, attacked people of the Lord, when the devil now comes so often, and when he says, do you now really think that the Lord can help such a one, and that the Lord will look upon such a one? Do you now really think that? Which is able. That we would not have such little thoughts about the Lord, which is able. If thou wilt, thou canst. O Lord, in thine almighty power wilt thou be pleased to bless the proclamation of thy word. Wilt thou be pleased to bless the proclamation of thy servants, which is able to build. Now that points us to a building. Not an existing building, no, a building that has to be built. Able to build. And where does that start with? Matthew 7. There are two types of builders. They are still the same nowadays. You have builders that build on sandy ground. They don't dig. They don't go in the depth. They right away start building on a solid foundation of the sand, they think. And when the rain comes and the wind and the floods, that sand will flush away and the building will collapse. It is the people that is looking down upon some others. They are digging so deep. They are sitting on the porch of their house of their life already when others are still digging. They think they are a child of God now. But the Lord teaches to build, which is able to build. And how does the Lord now build his church? Then he first breaks off. Then he first, what we have built, he breaks it down and he lays a solid foundation. Paul teaches that unto the Ephesians 2. He says that in 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. And he says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his. The solid foundation of that free and sovereign grace in the work of a triune God, that electing love of the Father, who looks upon his people only because of the finished work of Christ. He says it to the Corinthians, no one can lay another foundation that has been laid, which is Christ. So what is now the foundation of salvation? The work of God in Christ. Not my tears. Not the fruits of grace. Not my office. Of my membership,
that my attendance to the Lord's Supper, solid, the only foundation for salvation, lies in grace of God through Christ, who came and finished the work the Father gave him. He who could say it is finished. And based on his finished work, the Lord, by his word of grace and by his Spirit, is building his church. And then he writes in Ephesians 2, I speak to the elders of Ephesians, and later he would send them a letter in Ephesians 2, and he writes how then that the Lord builds. On whom the building is fitly framed together to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. So how does he build? By the work of his Spirit. Then he breaks everything down that is of me. Then he opens the blind eyes and shows me the foundation I stand on. And he shows me the sandy ground of my life. The sandy ground of worldliness, or the sandy ground of religion, or the sandy ground of piety, or the sandy ground of I have experienced this or that, and it is all outside of the fruits. And then he works that repentance, not to be repented of, a godly sorrow. And he brings a sinner on his knees. And he teaches them, I have done that which is evil in thy sight. That personally be built. Yeah, he builds his church. But the building has many stones, children, right? In the Bible, Paul, and to the Ephesians, he compares each child of God as a stone, as a living stone that is entered into the building. So we need to be made living stones. Then he makes a life from dead to life. Live ye live. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Or as he says it. And we need that repentance, verse 21, toward God, and that faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ that is necessary. And he teaches a broken heart and a contrite spirit, a godly sorrow, a hunger and a thirst, a sinner on his knees, a sinner bent over God's word. Lord, show me thy way and teach me thy path. Hunger and thirst for grace, for righteousness, for an honest salvation. Because, beloved, it will not help you if you build one another. It will not help you if you pat one another on the back and that you say, now I believe it from you, believe you it from me. We build one another based on that which has no ground for salvation. Who is able to build you? That comes from above. And he uses for that his word, which is able to build you. So my heart is deceitful more than anything. And the Lord uncovers that he builds by breaking down all that is of man and taking it all away. May I give a simple example, children? How does now the Lord build? You have a cup. And it's half full. And there is a certain drink in. And you want to have something, and that drink is not good, let's say, and you want something that is healthy for you. So what happens then? You just pour it in. You just mix it together. No. And that cup first needs to be emptied, thrown out. And when it is empty, it can be filled. That's now the work of the Lord. How does he build? He empties of self, and he fills with him.
what I have built. But he takes away and he destroys, he breaks. Not of wood, not of hay, Paul says, not of stubble. But by the testimony, verse 24, of the gospel of the grace of God. So what does now the Lord do? He makes a fitting, a soul fitting for grace. As an unworthy, as one who has sinned it away. He makes them fitting not in himself, but in the Lord's eyes, because when there is nothing left of me, and the Lord comes with the gospel of grace. That gospel of grace is preached every Sunday in your midst. But we have no ears for that, right? The Lord gives ears for it. For those that need it. For those that cannot live outside it anymore. For those that are so unworthy and unworthy before the Lord, that must say, Lord, if thou shouldest do with me according to my sin, then it is a lost case. The gospel of grace that speaks about the grace of God in Christ. Yeah, oh, then his name becomes so precious. Then he becomes altogether lovely. Then as he says to the Colossians in chapter 2 verse 7, then they are rooted and builded up in him. Him who is called, I will lay in Zion a fair stone, and I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphires. Built in him who is the chief cornerstone, Christ. Oh, that's that people in our midst has no rest outside of him. No. Who is able, who is mighty to build you up. So not building one another up. It won't help me and you. And your new minister will not do that either. But which and who? God, by the word of his grace. And God instructs his people. And they say, I have received this or that. And the first question is, what did the Lord use for that? Do you find that in the Bible? When it's not in the Bible, it's not from God. God's children are longing for a fellow traveler on the way to salvation to be explained in God's word, which is able to build you up on that foundation of the work of a triune God. What is that, a blessed people? Has God's word been used for that in your life in the past 12 something years? Has God's word been used for that end in your life? To him we commend one another. Has that word broken you down and built you up? Broken down by the law and built you up by the gospel? Broken down when you stood in account with God and built it up when you received an eye of faith unto Christ? And when that grace became, oh, when grace, that word became so precious. Has that happened? How poor when you miss it. Make haste for your life's sake. May your new minister be used for that. Time is short. Eternity long. No, never ending. Blessed Zion. Maybe there is a struggling people that may not deny what has happened. And now the Lord used his word and must say, oh, may I not know that it is true. That is now looking for the fruit. That is now looking unto him to grant him the fruit for a moment yet, but we first sing. 402. The first, oh, sing ye hallelujah. It is good our God to praise.
It is pleasant and becoming to him, our songs, to raise. He builds the walls of Zion, the first of 402. Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So there you have the answer. Has it now been true in my life? Is what I think in that took place in my heart, has that now been of God or not? How you know that? Paul, he says to those elders in Ephesians, how can you now separate the precious from the vile? He says, well, God's children, they are sanctified. What is that? Now, you know how I oftentimes told you, look it up in your concordance. And when you do that, the word sanctify or sanctification, then you see that being sanctified is the work of a triune God. We read it of God the Father, that he sanctified his people. About those who are sanctified by God the Father, Judas writes. Almost the last book of the Bible. And that sanctified, that means set apart. So the Lord sets his people apart. Outwardly, he does that with each of us when we are baptized. And he sets apart from the world. That means we are a separate people. And we need to be separate from the world. And we need to have a separate life. But the Lord, God the Father, does that, especially when he has chosen himself a people. He has set them apart. He wants to save them and grant them eternal life. Necessary, yes, because sanctifying is also a work of God, the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the word means from the Greek that we have to be cleansed, because we are not clean, we are so filthy. Oh, we are lepers from the crown of our head till the sole of our feet. We are so black, the bride says in the Song of Solomon, because of filthiness and sin. And then the Bible says in Hebrews 13, where have Jesus, that he might sanctify you, has suffered
without the camp. The work of Christ to sanctify his people, he suffered. He doesn't step over sin, does he? He doesn't say sand on top, he says blood on top. That needs to be paid. And he did that with the price of his blood. When the Father said, whom shall I send? He said, I come to do thy will. He sanctifies his people. And he teaches them to cipher it, wash me. And he deals honestly with them, may thou art a man. And David saying, wash me, make me pure within, cleanse. Oh, cleanse me from my sin. Is there such a people in Cortland that has learned that in the reading service, in the proclamation, as a fruit of it, what the Lord gave? Then it has not been in vain. But to sanctify is also the work of God's Spirit. Because what Christ obtained by suffering outside the camp needs to be applied, needs to become personal. He did that for his people, and now it needs to be given in his people. As Paul writes unto the Corinthians, now that was also a congregation with many outbreaking sins, he says, and these were some of you, but you are sanctified by the Spirit. Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. You are sanctified. So it was not only doctrine. It was not only head knowledge. And we don't despise it. Because I think head knowledge is way too little there. Why do so many people so easily go along with all kinds of winds of doctrine? Why is that? Because my people gets lost for lack of knowledge. And I know that's experiential knowledge. But that is not going outside that knowledge. You know your Bible. And that you know how to withstand. And when the Jehovah's Witness ring the doorbell of your house and they come and talk to you, that you know how to refute them. There it is written. When you meet the people of all kinds of wind of doctrine, and you meet them in college or university, or you meet them in the workplace, that you need to point them there, it is written. Sanctify by word and spirit. That points to the life. And may I say it once more. If someone says he is a child of God, and the Lord has worked, and never anything changed in his life, I fear it has never been from God. And I say that with love, and with trembling. Because children never forget when the Lord gives a new heart, he gives also a new life. Sanctify, that points to the fruit in our daily life. A catechism, you learn to hate sin, to flee from sin. Then you learn to call upon his name. Sanctify. Cancel the service of Satan and may fall on the Lord's side. When Paul became converted, the first question was about his heart. Pumarta, new heart. And the second question was about his life. What wilt thou have me to do? New life. So clear. So simple. Explained in God's word. And all reasoning outside that will not hold for eternity. Sanctify. And what is now that people whom the Lord justified and sanctified? Who is now that people whom the Lord justified by the word of grace and taught grace abounding for the chiefest of the sinners? Bunyan, that's not you, that's me. Paul, that's not you when you said, and to me the chiefest of the sinners, that's me. and who also showed it in their life. And you don't need to tell mothers, then you don't need to tell your child anymore. How can you do that? And your children cannot go along with the worldly things anymore. And then they cannot, and you cannot go along anymore with worldly dress, for example. And you don't need to tell them. And you don't need to tell those people they have to filter their internet. Because it's the people they don't trust themselves. That goes, automatically is not the right word, but as a fruit. Sanctify. Because I'm so scared to grieve my master. I'm so scared to go my own way. I don't say, how far can I go? But I may say, how far can I stay away? You understand it, young people? You understand it, older ones? What is it that the Lord gives that people in the ultimate fruit to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified? What is an inheritance? Well, let's say it simply, an inheritance that is what one receives when his father and his mother have passed away. Then the inheritance, their property is divided among the children, or among those who are written down in the will. Paul writes in Hebrews 9 verse 15, as long as the testator liveth, then that will is not secure yet, it is not fixed, it can be changed. There can be circumstances that the person is changing his will. I heard it, and may I say it for your warning, about a lady that was, the children thought in hospital she was on her deathbed. Yeah, she was in coma. And they stood around the bed, and the one was fighting about the clock, and the other wanted this, and the third wanted the couch, and name it. That woman woke up out of her coma. She had heard every single word. She changed her will, and after she truly passed, it came out. No inheritance for those. Something. An inheritance, and that will cannot be changed, the testament cannot be changed anymore after the testator dies. Then it cannot be altered, adjusted. Christ died and he obtained an inheritance for the people the Lord gave him. That forgiveness of sin, that righteousness, and that eternal salvation. That heaven, that place of which he says, I have prepared a place for you. In the house of my Father there are many mansions. Oh, that inheritance is that he will one day say, come and enter ye in. That he will not say, stand outside, because I know you not. Now, there is a touching parable in the Bible about 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. You know what was the difference? The wise virgins learned to know themselves as a fool. And the foolish virgins, they thought they were wise. They have the difference between true and false. You meet them here in Cortland, brothers, elders, deacons. When I command you to God and the word of his grace for the future, that inheritance, incorruptible, Peter says, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Such a people. Or Satan might object that. Satan might say, that's not for you. He might, as a howling wolf and a roaring lion, jump so often on the people and afflict them. But an afflicted people, the Lord will comfort.
with that inheritance that is incorruptible, those treasures that he has laid up in heaven, where no moth nor rust can corrupt, and where no thieves can break through and steal, that he has laid away for those that fear him. And that fear him is not dependent on my opinion, and that is not dependent on my judgment. It's not dependent on what people say, but what now the Lord sees and knows of me. Beloved congregation, or there are moments that they may see something and may taste something, that they may receive a little in interest already of that inheritance, when the Lord comes over and by the word of his grace instructs them. Where are those moments? That they may have a foretaste, and that they may long when cometh the day, and that they go back to that word of grace and the God of grace and say, Lord, instruct me. And take away all that is mine and give me that which is thine. There lies a hope that fadeth not away, an inheritance kept in heaven. You have a longing for that? We have to close, I see. Long for that. What is now the fruit of your life? The fruit of the preaching, the fruit of the reading service. What is that now? You still live for own account. So sad. And you travel for own account. You know what that means. You know what that means, beloved? That when you die today, you'll be at the wrong side. And the Lord has not laid away an inheritance. But then you will await, I know you not. And then there is a way, a road from the gate of heaven to the gate of hell. I know you not from whence you are. There comes a day I have to give an account of what I preached in your midst. As you minister and as you moderate. And there comes a day that you have to give an account. Not of what you thought about that, but what you did with it before God's countenance. And terrible if there was no fruit, and the Bible says double many stripes today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart and be not despondent, my unconverted friend. Who is able, which is able. That word is the same, and the God of his word is the same. He still can do it. Ask for it. And that you need minister may be used for that. To his honor, your salvation. He laid away the crown, people. He laid away that inheritance. Those that have no rights, those that had to learn to live by and from grace alone, he laid it away. And after the foretaste here, they received that full inheritance, and then an eternity is needed to be wonder and to taste how great he is for such an unworthy, for such a rebel. And he learned, if it is possible for such a one as I am, then for sure, for each one else, and then they may sing for his grace, his tender mercies. May you all be given to be on that side. I command you and to God. The word of grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Amen. Almighty Lord, there lies the only foundation and the only ground for salvation. And may we now command this flock unto thee, and the word of thy grace. We acknowledge thee for thy help. Lord, if thou wilt open, who will then close? Be thee after preaching, or that in the day of days thy word will not testify against, but may appear to have received the fruit. Be acknowledged for what thou hast given. Forgive that was amiss. Of this evening and the past years, have mercy on us. We ask for Christ's sake alone. Amen.
98, the fourth. The righteous through his favoring hand shall yet inherit all the land and dwell therein for a. And what follows in the fourth of 98. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.